Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andrew P. Shea. Just to share with our listeners, Andy, right now, you are reveling. You are reveling in your Tampa Bay Buccaneers win, while many of us who are Eagles fans, there's just nothing we can say.
Hey, you aren't the Cowboys, right? I mean, the one thing was, my one buddy said to me, he goes, I kind of wish the Eagles wouldn't have been in the playoffs and had to play Monday night. Because as an Eagles fan, the Cowboys game was so much fun. It was like a win. I'm very happy that my football team, completely unexpected, I even think 9-8, I mean, as much dead salary cap and issues they have, I'm pumped. Detroit played them before. They beat us. Good football team. Let's go. But, yeah, we beat the Eagles. We beat the Eagles.
Yeah. Okay, we got it. Andy's wearing his Tampa Bay Buccaneer hat. I got to look at that for the entire show. Let's move on, Andy. This has been a rough week for me, not just the Eagles, but we had to cancel shows earlier in the week due to power outage. I'm a little bit under the weather, so things have got to go up from here. But what I wanted to talk to you about, which I think is kind of fascinating, and I know this is always the case, when you look at the roster and the scholarship numbers, Penn State has 90-some, somewhere between 95, I've heard 98, I've heard 99. The problem is they've got to get down to 85, and the standard, oh, don't worry about it, those things take care of themselves. This is not like three or four moves. They got about 12 or 14 moves to make to get down to 85.
Yeah, the roster management is going to be a massive challenge for Penn State. 98, 90, above 95, let's just call it that. Anything above 95 is plus 10 or more. And that's a lot of work. You know, they had a couple defensive linemen who said they're coming back for another year, played significant, maybe unexpected a little bit. Either way, they've got a ton of roster management to do, and they've got some positions that they've got to do some serious hard looks at and some serious work on. There's no doubt about it. I look at the two positions when you're talking about the scholarship breakdown and by position and being over the 85 scholarship limit, you know, it's wide receiver and defensive tackles. You know, those are two positions that have a lot of scholarship there. That's, you know, between 28 and 30 scholarships somewhere in that neighborhood in those two positions. That's a crowded house. So I don't know how it looks. I don't know how they're going to figure this out. That's why they have somebody in place to help them manage that roster. And that's another one of, you know, as a CEO, James Franklin's jobs. But they've got some work to do in terms of their roster management to get down to the 85 scholarship limit.
Well, Andy, there are college teams that are literally hiring people that they're calling general managers now, because there is so much roster management that needs to be done, and it gets more and more complicated with the portal going on. That's such a big issue now. You have guys coming in, guys going out the door, and it's so hard to manage that because you don't know what's going on. You have players, and I think often through the years that we've been doing this show, we've always been hesitant to name names when we talk about potential players leaving.
Right.
And it's kind of a sensitive topic, and it's perhaps even a little bit unfair to the individual players. But I'm going to break that rule here a little bit today, because I think we have to in talking about it and the way it's the way the game works. But as an example, I think we all saw, for example, Keandre Lambert-Smith, you know, hardly get targeted the last several games. It just seemed like he was going to move on one way or another. And here we are, middle of January.
And he hasn't.
And he hasn't.
Right.
Does that mean he can't still do that later? No, it doesn't mean that. But right now, you've got to be open to the possibility that he's part of the team next year.
No, he's on the list. I 100% agree with you. I think there's, you know, like I said, the two defensive linemen coming back, good, but adds more numbers to your equation, right? Like, and I don't want to nitpick. Yeah, Keandre Lambert-Smith is a very strong candidate. It gets tough to name names, because that's what they need to do inside the rooms at Penn State, is start naming the names when they're working on this. But you named the perfect Class A example. But the one other part of this, that the COVID year, right, the extra year of eligibility, the NCAA handed that out like it was a Halloween candy. And, you know, it makes sense. But what they didn't do on the back end now, 3 years later, is they didn't give, you know, the schools any leeway in that. So they gave the players an extra year without changing the scholarship number. And I don't think they should have changed it right away, but I think they should have at least increased it incrementally, working towards the end. Like, even you go a 3%, 4%, and 5% in a 3-year window, give them a little help, because it's free eligibility for the players. It's causing serious headaches and management 3 years down the line for programs. And it's not the player's fault. Again, this falls back on the NCAA making a decision short-sighted and not having a plan. Oh, wow. How does that sound familiar? But I will say, the schools have been sort of, you know, hamstrung by the COVID eligibility. And there's maybe 10, 11 guys that either are having COVID year or have COVID year eligibility potential. And that's causing a problem for a lot of schools and rosters. Penn State is pretty high on the list of one that it's causing problems to, because they are really far over the limit.
Well, I think the expression we're looking for here is unintended consequences.
Correct.
And no good deed goes unpunished. Also, you know, you're trying to do the right thing. So you're trying to do the right things by the players with that COVID year, but it ends up, here are the ramifications. The other part to this, you mentioned, you know, the defensive tackles who chose to return, that may have been a little bit of a surprise. But I think this is also, Andy, a little bit of the NIL money coming into play.
Correct.
Where a player might have been at a point where, you know, my draft status may not change at all if I come back. Makes no sense to come back. I'll take my chances, either a very late round draft pick, undrafted free agent, or now you have the option, I could come back and make some NIL money back at school. That actually becomes a viable business decision.
Get an advanced degree because you get another free year of education. It is a smart business decision. And an unintended consequence of the COVID year eligibility is a lot of guys getting advanced degrees, getting another year of NIL money, but also creating serious roster problems. I mean, free isn't free, right? Sometimes you hear that, you know, well, you know, freedom ain't free. Free ain't always free. This is a case where they gave the free year of eligibility and it's not free, and it's not causing the NCAA any problems. It's only causing their constituents problems. Hello, attitude reflect leadership, boss. Terrible leadership. I would have thought, and I kept looking for into the fall, into the winter, for the NCAA to come up with some kind of small, you know, some small assist to the schools, whether it was, you know, a 3% or a 5%, something to give them 2, 3, 4, 5 more scholarship limits for 1 year, maybe into 2025, even give them a second year and reduce the number, give them some help. But they're just like, nope, you got to figure it out and screw kids.
Didn't they, you know, in the first year allow, if you had a COVID guy, I think you got an extra scholarship for anyone using that extra COVID year, but they cut that out before they cut out the extra COVID year eligibility. Correct. So they didn't let that go forward. Now, correct, even with that, they were going to have problems because at Penn State, I don't think there's, you know, 14 COVID guys going on. But it's a lot of these other things that are happening, Andy. And I want to bring up one other issue that I'm not sure a lot of people thought of till it happened. They've now have the window for the portal. That window is now closed, except, and this on the surface seems like an excellent rule, if your coach leaves, you get another 30-day window. So all of a sudden, Alabama, with Nick Saban leaving, his players can hit the portal. Alabama players can hit the portal.
Washington?
Washington's coach moves to Alabama. Guess what? Washington players can now, you know, enter the portal. Arizona coach goes to Washington. Guess what? Arizona players can now enter the portal. So if you're theoretically, Alabama, you know, Washington, Arizona could lose a boatload of players, but would be unable to bring anybody in.
Correct. Correct. And two of those four teams were in the college football playoff. One of them played for the college football championship. That's a problem, Jimmy. That is a big time problem with, right. And I think that is their own unintended consequence. And I don't hold them to the fire necessarily for that one. That one is a little more sticky, but yeah, the numbers game is, I think this is going to be a very difficult number for Penn State to ascertain. Deep, looking at the roster, looking at the players, it's going to take some serious work for them to get to 85, Jimmy.
I think so too. And Andy, we are going to pick up this conversation when we come back after a quick break, so stay tuned. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T-Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We are talking Penn State football. And a little more specific, we are talking about Penn State having to deal with the fact that they have 90-some players, at least 95 players on scholarship, and they have to somehow get that number down to 85 before the season starts. I think in August at some point is when they'll be need to get that back to 85. And Andy, some of this is about the unintended consequences of some rules. We were talking about at the end of quarter number one, the NCAA put in the rule, and I think it's a great rule with all the best intentions.
Right.
If a team loses their head coach, the players get a new 30-day window.
In the transfer portal.
In the transfer portal.
When it's that, otherwise closed, right. Yeah. Right. Otherwise, the transfer portal is closed.
As a player, you will go to Alabama, you're thinking you're going to play for Nick Saban, and now Nick Saban is gone. I think you should have the right to move on. So there's the trickle down of the coaches. You know, the Washington coach becomes the Alabama coach. The Arizona coach becomes the Washington coach. I think it's the San Jose State coach becomes the Arizona coach. And each one of those teams now have to deal with the fact that the portal is open for their players. I think I saw somewhere where Alabama, it's either like 22 or 23 players from their two deep have gone either to the NFL or to the portal.
Correct.
So that is a lot to deal with. Now, let's get more specific about Penn State. Penn State did not get hurt at all by people leaving through the portal.
Nope.
Handful of guys who weren't really factors. They must be one of the few teams throughout the whole country who could say that, Andy. So that sounds on the surface really good, but if you're looking to fix some positions through the portal and bring guys in, but nobody's leaving, oops.
98. That's where you get to the 98 guys on your roster. So here's the other caveat as with Penn State's roster. And somehow I think this is the lack of turnover, and they have brought in a couple marquee guys, at least in, you know, as it looks on the surface in from the transfer portal. They have all new coordinators, Jimmy. Obviously, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, new special teams coordinator. So those coordinators all need to spend winter workout time into and through spring practice and going into the summer, evaluating the roster and figuring out, you know, what they're looking for and what they want. They have time to work on this. And I in some ways, I feel that the sort of the bulge that they have right now in their roster with as much turnover, with complete turnover at the coordinator positions, you know, and special teams is special teams, you know, it's your kickers and your punters, but, and your long snapper, but it's still, you have to do, you know, you still have to do evaluations. I think, you know, Andy and Tom Allen both have to go top to bottom on this roster and go through it and look at these guys all the way through, get to the spring, head into the summer, and then start working on it. They have till August to take care of this, but having a bulging roster, I don't think it hurts those guys. I think it's a help to them to get to know where they're at so that they are making all these decisions based on current evaluations of the coaching staff. So I think it's something that it's a challenge for them, but it's actually sort of nice. Like, okay, we have like, you know, 9 or 10 guards. Well, do we need 9 or 10 guards on the roster? Let's look at the roster. Let's do the depth chart. We know after spring practice, generally, when those sort of when the depth charts play out and the conversations are had and who's where and what, that's another sort of open season transfer portal time frame. So I think once we get through that a little bit, I think you can, you know, account for some of these guys or some of this roster space to be freed and some of this pressure to alleviate. But it's they have all new coordinators and they have an overstuffed roster. Yeah, the new coordinators are going to be busy figuring out their roster and how they want it to look and what they're going to do top to bottom, not just on the top end.
Well, let's take a look at some of the specific positions you talked about, Andy. And I think wide receiver, this is exhibit A of where things need to be done. And you know, the word processing has always been used as a negative term, but essentially that's going to need to be done. 14 scholarship players at wide receiver, you could say, well, that's like, if you have three wide receiver positions, you're more than four deep. And Penn State especially plays multiple tight ends. You know, if you're talking about two wide receivers on the field most of the time,
right?
14 wide receivers is way more than you need.
Way too many.
That herd's going to need to be thinned out.
That is target A, Jimmy. That has to be figured out faster than anything.
Well, you know, here, tell me what you think of this. I would put the things that there's the guys who you believe are going to play at the very top. There are the new guys, the freshmen or the redshirt freshmen. I wouldn't think they would be looking to move so quickly. It's that in-between group. Now, the guys at the top, obviously Julian Fleming, you brought in to play. He's
right.
Going to play.
He's coming here to play.
Trey Wallace, I think, you know, unless he just needs a fresh start somewhere, I think he's a talented guy who will play. And his big question mark has been health.
He gets a caveat as an injury-riddled 2023, right? He got off to a good start, but then he was just injury-riddled the entire season. So he's I don't really know. The offseason is important to him, but I think he gets a benefit of the doubt in terms of production.
So now we got to talk about the rest of the players. I'm going to start with Keandre Lambert-Smith. I have no idea what's going on with him, Andy.
Well, no, we now know he's not a wide receiver one. He's not. 600 and some yards and 4 touchdowns and 12 yards a catch. You're not a wide receiver one. Couldn't get open. Production went down as the season went along. His work rate went down with it. As his production went down, his work rate went down as well. He did not appear to become better at his craft. Let's put it that way, right? So, you know, 13 games is a long season, and there are small incremental steps that you can make, particularly if you're going to be designated as the wide receiver one. And he not only didn't go forward, he went backwards. So he's got a lot to prove because he will not – we know he's not a wide receiver one. Does he have a spot? Can he be a wide receiver two or wide receiver three? I don't know, because you can't put him in the role of being competing for wide receiver one. They won't do – that's fail. He's going to fail at that because he's not. So – he's a very interesting scout. He's a real strong candidate to either go into the transfer portal or to figure out how to get a little better coaching. Hello, Marcus. You got some work to do, dude, as the wide receiver coach. You got some development work to do with these dudes, big time. You have really got a development job on your hand. Good recruiter, good on you. There's another side of it, and you need to be better at it. He's got a lot of development work to do and to see where he fits. He's a strong candidate to me still to leave, but we saw it. He can be a good wide receiver two or three. We saw that before he was put into the role as wide receiver one. He can fill a role as a wide receiver two or three. Can he see that path forward for himself at Penn State? That's my biggest question about him.
I think, though, Andy, some of this is on the player himself too.
True. Oh yeah, equal balance.
You see, you know, Lambert Smith, there seemed to be some attitude issues there too.
Yeah,
during
work
the game. The next group, you know, upperclassmen who really haven't found their way yet at Penn State, and I'll lump them together. Malik McClain, who's came in from from Florida State, Malik Mega, Liam Clifford, Amari Evans. There's a group.
Caden Saunders in that group.
You know, I was just by class, you know, separating him. But, yeah, let's put in Caden Saunders among that group. It's time for them to I think they either got to become relevant players, part of the rotation, or they're going to get passed by. It's their time either to get on the rotation or probably leave, Andy.
I thought their time was last year, Jimmy. in some respects, the least opportunity was probably presented to Amari Evans. Caden Saunders was very limited, but in the limited that he did have, you didn't see what the recruiting book told you in any way, shape, or form. You know, Malik can't catch the ball. That's just a problem. I think the one guy, despite his ceiling in terms of what he can do, the one guy in this group who I thought took the small incremental steps during the season and maximized his development was Liam Clifford. I think he became better at route running. I think he became a little bit more of a available target in very small sample sizes, Jimmy, because we were looking for anything out of this group that was positive. He made some steps forward, but he has a ceiling, right? His overall talent isn't as much as some of the other guys. So I would have thought that last year, 2023, you want to give him 2024 and call it the same thing and see if they can do it again? How's it going to look any different, Jimmy? It's the same coach, different offensive coordinator. Does that help them? We're going to find out. Something has to unlock these guys, Jimmy.
Well, you mentioned I thought Liam Clifford and Caden Saunders both showed something when they got an opportunity, but they had very limited opportunities. But I think that group, you know, I named five guys. I think the spring is their time to either, and again, they have a new offensive coordinator.
Correct.
It's their time to either show something or, and this is not me saying process them, get them out the door. It's, I think, for their own benefit, Andy, if they don't show something in the spring that they can be a factor on this team, it's in their own best interest to move on. Because if it hasn't happened by now, like you said, you thought it was last year. Well, I'll give them one more year. Anyway, that is it for quarter number two, Andy. We got lots more to go. Stick around. Quarter three, your questions, we ask Andy. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Andy. We'll take your questions for Andy. He'll give us the answers. If you want to have your question submitted for Andy, here's all you got to do. Download our app. It's called Keystone Sports. Just search Keystone Sports. You'll see it. Download the app. It's all free. And you'll see there's an Ask Andy button. And away you go. That's what Tim from Butler, PA did. And he says this. Hi, guys. Love the content. Appreciate keeping the information relevant and entertaining as always. My question's about the wide receiver position. And it's coaching. With all the coaching successes of former players now coaching, could you ever see Allen Robinson coming back to coach our wide receivers when he retires? He seems very involved and interested with Penn State still. If not him, do you see anyone else doing it? Thank you.
So I think the wide receiver coaching position has been a nemesis for James Franklin for a very long time. What was there? Was there a run of like 4 years or something where they had three or something along that lines? It was like a coach a year. He couldn't get it right. They couldn't get it developed. I think, you know, before he hired Marcus prior to the 2023 season, I think they had a guy that could develop wide receivers in terms of talent development, but he didn't meet the standards that James wanted as a member of his staff on the recruiting trail. So, I mean, when he got fired, it sort of stunned me because I'm like, development-wise, I can see that the wide receiver position does make progress in terms of talent development and enrichment. But then you find out it's the recruiting side, and it's an equal balance with James. So he hires a guy from Virginia, Marcus, who is an uber talented and very good recruiter. In a first look, in a big time program, under some really bright lights with a really, really good football team, his coaching stunk in terms of development. There's no other way to put it. The players are also partly responsible, but ultimately, he's the one who the spotlight ends up shining on. And this group not only didn't make progress, collectively, this group over the course of this season regressed. So that's also equal balance, but he's the wide receiver coach. It's his responsibility to get them across the line. So he's got 14 of them to work with, Jimmy. And I don't know what James's leash looks like, because it's been a position that, like I said, has caused him problems. So Allen Robinson's a great guy. When's he going to be done playing in the NFL? What's he going to do?
I think you also, you know, circling back to the Allen Robinson part of the question, Andy, if you're an NFL star player and have been paid that way, being a position coach at the collegiate level involves a lot of work. Yep. And it's not necessarily, if you're an NFL star player, that's not necessarily how you want to spend the rest of your life or the next step of your life after retiring from the NFL. James Franklin has hit a lot of home runs with position coaches.
Yes.
You look at running back, at tight end, I think now at offensive line. Defensive line looks very promising.
Absolutely.
Safety looks good. Cornerback looks good. If I didn't mention tight end, I should. And, you know, he's one at wide receiver. It's the one place where that has not been the case. And I think he you know, is this guy the one? We haven't seen it yet, Andy.
Nope.
All right. Let's move on. Let's go to Matt in Massachusetts. He says, Jim and Andy, I'd like to ask a follow-up question to Andy's answer about James Franklin going to Alabama. Do you think James Franklin would accept an NFL head coaching position? I think we could agree that when the NFL calls, you listen.
When the NFL calls, you listen. You absolutely listen. Joe Paterno listened to the New England Patriots and made a decision at one point during his career. The great Nick Saban listened and took the jump, and it was not good. I think James falls into the Dabo Swinney category for me. I don't think how James Franklin operates as a CEO would translate to the NFL, only because the NFL is such a business. There is a business side to this in college football, but there's also a very strong personal relationship building side. And in the NFL, that's short term for when they're on your roster. James builds relationships long term with his players. And in the NFL, you build relationships very short term as a head coach. And I just don't think the type of coach that James is would translate well to being an NFL head coach. I think it could be a coordinator, but I don't see it translating.
I'm with you. I don't think I think his skill set is best served at the collegiate level. I do think, though, with everything that's going on in college football today, would make any coach, as our listener said, any coach would listen if the NFL calls. All right, I'm going to give you a question, Andy, that I don't need you to answer, but I do want to put it out there. And this is Daniel from Bell Vernon. Jim and Andy, not sure what I'd do on Fridays without your show. Thank you, Daniel. With football season over and your indication you're going to cover other Penn State sports, I've got a question about the wrestling team. Good friend of mine claims he has inside info, tells me he believes this year's team may be the best Cale Sanderson has had at Penn State, which is saying a lot given our record margin of victory winning the national championship last year. Given the shutout on Sunday against Indiana, it seems we're loaded with talent. My question is, how excited should we be about this year's wrestling squad, and what are the specific reasons why? I'm going to answer part of the question, and should you be excited about this year's wrestling squad? The answer is yes. The second part of the question, what are the specific reasons why? Daniel, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold your question for our good friend, Jeff Byers, who is part of the show. Jeff is the voice of Penn State Wrestling, and I don't know anyone who knows Penn State Wrestling better than Jeff does. Daniel, I'm going to set your question aside, and I'm going to hold it for Jeff, and I think he's going to be able to give you the best possible answer. All right, let's move on our questions. Let's go to Ben in Allentown, Andy, who says, "And by the way, I thought I would spare you from the wrestling question, Andy. I didn't think you wanted to deal with that.
I knew they beat Indiana 44-0, and I knew they – I think it was – did they not give up a takedown?
It was crazy, a crazy dominant victory.
It was ridiculous. And
typically, the answer, if the question is, should you be excited about Penn State wrestling, the answer is yes. It was the answer last year, the answer this year. I'm going to predict that's the answer next year too. Ben from Allentown says, Andy, do you think of Coach James Franklin as a liability on game day? And do you think there are specific games that were lost because of him?
Oh, man.
Ben's putting you on the spot there, Andy.
Oh, I don't see James as a game day liability. However, listeners might perceive this as tough. I don't think game day is his strength. I don't see him as a liability, but it is definitely not his strength. His nuance and feel for the game as it progresses and unfolds in front of him is a little bit sketchy for me. I think when he has very talented coordinators around him, he is a better version of himself as a head coach. Not because he's out of the way, but because he's able to focus on the things that are in his wheelhouse. So that's the way I phrase it. I don't think he's a flat out liability. No, but I just don't see it as a strength. It's the one, it's the most glaring and only weakness I really see of him as an overall head coach and CEO of a big time college football program is, you know, those 3 to 4 hours are just, they're not in his strength wheelhouse. And that doesn't mean he's a bad coach. I don't think he's a bad X's and O's coach. I think he's an outstanding practice coach. I just think that little time period is that, but I don't see him as a quote unquote liability.
And yeah, I don't know if he loses games for him, but I'm not sure he wins games for them.
Correct.
And the example I'll use is the Penn State Michigan game this year, when it became obvious that Penn State's defensive line was dominating in the passing game. Chop Robinson was just crushing the right tackle. And Jim Harbaugh said, you know what? We can't pass against this team. They made adjustments, and they didn't throw the ball in the second half. They made the adjustment. They did what they needed to do to win the game. I'm not sure I could point out a game like that for James Franklin. Let's sneak in Brad from Perkasie, who says,
sure.
With Ohio State hiring Ross, I think he's pronounced it Bjork, to be its new athletic director, they hired him away from Texas A&M. What emotion should we be feeling about this hire? I'm going to translate the question to, should we have any care about somebody else hiring an athletic director?
No, you don't care. For Penn State football, the athletic director is somewhat irrelevant. Now, the only thing it's bad for is Ryan Day, because Ryan Day is now not his guy. Well, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing for Penn State, but and looking at it through that lens, but we know athletic directors, he's not his guy.
What I will also point out is this is the guy. I'm not sure he hired Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, but I think he extended him.
He did. Okay.
So that's, you know what, if you want to judge him on the decisions he's made previously, I think that's got to be level one. Now, he's got a reputation for raising money. I think it helps at Texas A&M when you have all the oil guys to talk to about raising money. So I'm not sure that moves the needle at all for Ohio State. All right, Andy, that is it for quarter number three and Ask Andy. Quarter four, when we come back, we're going to get back into our discussion about that roster, the number of scholarships, and how in the world are they going to manage to get down to 85? We'll talk about that next. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four. Andy, we were wrapping up our Ask Andy segment with a question about the new athletic director hire at Ohio State. What I do think should be mentioned, though, I didn't want to trivialize the athletic director hire at different places. I think at Penn State, Pat Kraft was a good hire for Penn State based on if you're a football fan and you want the team to win. He seems to be lobbying wherever he can for the resources for Penn State's football program. And again, if you're a football fan, you've got to be happy with that.
Yeah, he's an athletics guy. Like, there's a couple versions of ADs. There's, you know, there's administrative, fundraising, organizational. It's not like Pat doesn't have any of those. But Pat's clearly a football slash athlete. Sports guy first. That's clear out front. And I'm not sure the AD that Ohio State hired is not a little bit of everything and nothing really out front. So, and maybe that's what Ohio State wants. He's got deep fundraising abilities in pockets. He's a very good administrator. But Pat Kraft is different, that he is a neck out, face first, leaning into football athletics first.
Yeah. So again, if you, I believe he's doing everything he can to give James Franklin the resources he needs to hire the best staff to do all those kind of things. All right, Andy, let's get back to our conversation about the Penn State roster. And, you know, it's out there. You got to talk about it. The fact that they have, you know, high 90s in the number of scholarships right now, and they've got to get that number down to 85. No ifs, ands, or buts about that one. They've got to get it down to 85, which means double-digit number of players who are on that roster today who won't be on the roster come August in the start of the season. You can't work your way around it. There's another way to put it. So we talked at wide receiver where there were 14 players on scholarship. They've got to thin that herd some. And I would not be surprised to see three players, maybe even four players, who are on this scholarship list at wide receiver, not on that list come August.
Yeah, I think they have, you know, we know they have 6 or 7 months to work on this and get it down by the mandated date. However, they also have three cycles to work through this, which is you've got winter workouts, spring ball, which will be really important, and, you know, you've got your summer workouts leading into fall camp. All of that will tell them what they need to do and where they need to go. And yeah, we're identifying a wide receiver as one of them, positions where it might be a little bit of a crowded cupboard. But I know that they need to look well beyond just the crowded cupboards. They need to look top to bottom and, you know, look at years of eligibility and look at young versus experienced. Is it a level playing field? And they're going to have to make very micro decisions, Jimmy, in terms of players. Not macro, not big picture decisions. I think they're going to, for this amount of roster trimming that they're going to need to work through, I think they're going to have to make very micro, detailed sort of focused decisions on how they do some things. So it's still, they still have a really deep roster. That's the thing. They have a lot of experience and they have a pretty deep roster. So that's another little bit of a problem, not a big problem, but they've played a lot of dudes and they've got a good bit of experience and they have been fairly productive across the board.
So the question, Andy, is at wide receiver, I said, you know, would I be surprised to see three or even four guys move on? No, I wouldn't. Well, that's three or four guys. They got to get rid of maybe 10, 12. And saying get rid of is not a nice way to put it, but they've got to reduce their numbers. Now, when we started the show, I asked you about some of the positions to look at here. You also mentioned defensive tackle. And I think an interesting way, by my count, I have scholarship players at D-tackle at 13. For example, defensive end, I have that number at 9, okay? Right. They're both where you have two guys on the field at the same time. At defensive tackle, 9 of them. I'm sorry, at defensive end, 9. At defensive tackle, 13. Is that the another place where movement has to be made?
I think it's going to have to be, and I think Devon Ellis and Hakeem Beamon coming back and using that extra year of eligibility, while football-wise, that's a huge plus and bonus for Penn State. It's on, if you broke it down and said those two guys coming back and you said, okay, there's 10, give me 10 things about this that are relevant, 9 of them would be good, and the only negative would be they take up 2 roster spots, right? That's the only negative aspect to it. So while saying that, yeah, they've got some, that's a big number for interior defensive linemen. It's too many in terms of with an 85 scholarship limit. However, having said that, while the wide receivers would be what I look as going into 2024 as a weakness for this roster, I see the interior defensive line and I group the defensive ends in there, but overall, the defensive line, and particularly the defensive tackles as well, that is a strength of this football team, right? Across the board, DNs, D-tackles, interior defensive line, but 14 is too high of a number. But yet, they probably played, 6 or 7 of them on a fairly consistent / regular basis through 2023, Jimmy. They rotated them freely. They used them consistently in the Manny Diaz, we're going to run numbers at you and we're going to run it up at you and we're going to run a bunch of guys at you. They played, and you know what? The guys that played, they performed, Jimmy. So that's where you've got your yin and yang of this 13-14 number at the defensive tackle interior defensive line position. And it's a strength of the team. Really sticky wicket for me. And that's a sticky one to get through because you've got young guys coming up, right? You've got, three or four young guys that you brought in this recruiting class. You can't put them, you know, on the shelf. So, and it's a strength. Very sticky wicket at defensive tackle interior-wise for me. I don't think DNs at 9 is a problem.
No, I don't think so, Andy. And, you know, using simple math, if you say there's 22 starters, you know, 11 on each side, if you want to be 4 deep at every single position, that's 88 players, pretty close to that 85. Excuse me. So if you use 4 deep as your way of, you know, if defensive tackle, that would mean having 8 of them. Having 9, not a big difference. But at D tackle, having 13, and you hit it. They brought in 3, or if you count Liam Andrews, who's listed as an athlete but probably going to play defensive tackle, that's 4 freshmen that you brought in. That's a pretty big number.
Yes, and that's what I think. So, and, you know, for lack of a better term, Hakeem Beamon and Devon Ellis, they took 2 spots Penn State really didn't have, but Penn State is very glad to have them back to take those 2 spots. That's the best way I could think to put it, is it's a small loss with a huge upside win, but you have to address the loss. And the loss is that they take up two scholarship spots and two spots on this roster.
Yeah, I think they had to plan for them not coming back.
They probably did, I would guess, yeah.
You know, the reality is you're happy about it, though.
Correct. You're 100% happy. I mean, looking at Penn State's prospects in 2024, those two guys are a big reason why their defensive line is a strength.
So the question now becomes, Andy, you know, we highlighted wide receiver. We highlight defensive tackle. Now, where else could they make a move?
Do you, you know, you brought in a couple linebackers, you know, do you need 12, 11 or 12 linebackers? Do you need 12? I don't know necessarily what the good number is. I think cornerback is, it's all new. Cornerback, you lost everything. So, and you brought three new guys in this recruiting class, right? And, you know, three quarters of your cornerback room is either first or second year guys in terms of eligibility and scholarship time used. So, you know, this is where it gets really hard. Like, they're not overtly, those are kind of, they feel like and seem like good, right numbers when you're roster man, when you're managing your roster, right? You broke it down and said, you know, go a four deep. So at linebacker, you're like, 12 is the right number. But when you're trying to cut this many, you have to look at those at a different level. Those are the micro decisions that I'm talking about. Where can you find the one? Where can you find another one? Look, we know wide receiver and defensive line are going to have to, there's some give and take going to have to happen at those two positions because they're crowded houses. The micro that I talked about is how do you break it down beyond that and find the one or two more that really doesn't impact your depth chart or your three or four deep very far. So, and this recruiting class is good. That's the other problem, Jimmy. This recruiting class, how many of these kids are going to play? Maybe four, five, six. That's a pretty consistent number with what James goes at, and he works under a three-year system now. But, you know, they've lost a lot of guys to the NFL. They didn't lose enough.
Well, you know, I think there's areas where there may be people leaving out of necessity that you're not going to be comfortable with, that you're going to say, you right. know what? You know, until now, there haven't been the losses that made you say that one hurt.
Right.
And I think Penn State is kind of past the point of guys who are, you know, in the regular rotation. I think if they would have left, they would have done it already. But where are those picks, choices at the different positions where the numbers aren't so bad, but you're going to have to cherry pick one or two at these different positions, Andy, just to make the number. All right, that's going to have to be it. That is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.